Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seeker, so happy and blessed to be with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, if you're a fan of Charles Schulz's comic strip Peanuts, you'll no doubt recall those immortal words of Linus when he said, "There are three great things I have learned never to discuss with people. Religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin." Well, as much as I like Peanuts and especially old Linus, I can't subscribe to his words. And don't worry, I'm not going to talk about the Great Pumpkin on today's show, but I am going to talk politics and religion. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is clear about the importance of our involvement in the political life of our country and of discussing it with others. It's an essential part of spreading the gospel, at least to the extent of its helping to bring virtue to the temporal governance of a people and making sure that the laws of a country reflect natural law, especially as it concerns the sacredness and dignity of the human person. That's why it's so very important that Christians get involved with politics and that they vote with a properly formed conscience. We're going to pick up from where we left off last week, talking about the upcoming elections, particularly the presidential election, and how to make sure our vote is a truly holy and just one. Let's begin by asking the patroness of our country, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to intercede for us in these challenging and divisive times. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. President Donald Trump released a letter addressed to pro-life leaders and activists this past Thursday, promising that he would continue to fight in the trenches for unborn children and their mothers if reelected. In the message, President Trump vowed to continue transforming the federal judiciary with judges who will respect the Constitution and who will not legislate an abortion agenda from the bench, pass and sign into law several pro-life pieces of legislation that would continue the move to protect all unborn life, and fully defund the nation's biggest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, of taxpayer dollars, asking for the help of every pro-life American to defeat abortion extremism this November. Trump wrote, "The Democratic Party unequivocally supports abortion on demand up until the moment of birth, and even infanticide, leaving babies to die after failed abortions. Forcing taxpayers to pay for abortions is an abhorrent position that must be defeated at the ballot box." And the Republican Party's platform continues to be a strong defender of the fundamental right to life, particularly as it concerns nascent life. In its own words, the 2020 Republican platform states that the party supports a human life amendment to the Constitution and legislation to make it clear that the 14th Amendment's protections apply to children before birth. The party's principles also include the opposition of the use of public funds to perform or promote abortion or to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood so long as they provide or refer for elective abortions or sell fetal body parts. Furthermore, the Republican Party urges all states and Congress to make it a crime to acquire, transform, or sell fetal tissues from elective abortions for research. We affirm our moral obligation to assist rather than penalize women who face an unplanned pregnancy, the platform reads. We support legislation that requires financial responsibility for the child be equally borne by both the father and the mother upon conception until the child reaches adulthood. Failure to require a father to be equally responsible for a child places an inequitable burden on the mother, creating a financial and social hardship on both mother and child, the manifesto states. The platform also continues to oppose euthanasia, assisted suicide, and embryonic stem cell research. And finally, around 21 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Several women from Kentucky, as well as several from the Evansville area, came to 421 South College Avenue to end the lives of their unborn babies. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day long to offer love, hope, and help to the women, both as they went in and came out. out. Debna Katola was back in town yet again to perform the deadly procedures. Please continue to pray much for her conversion. And that's your weekly in the news. The current president has cloaked America in darkness for much too long. Too much anger, too much fear, too much division. Here and now, I give you my word. If you entrust me with the presidency, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I will be an ally of the light, not of the darkness. It's time for us, for we the people, to come together. This is our moment. This is our mission. May history be able to say that at the end of this chapter of American darkness began here tonight as love and hope, a light joined in the battle for the soul of the nation. And this is a battle that we together will win. Those were some of the thoughts and words laid out by Joe Biden on August 20th when he accepted the 2020 Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Sounds pretty great, huh? Like exactly what America needs right now, light, hope, love, everyone coming together to make peace, not war. Joe Biden wants to be the Catholic president who will bring peace and order to a country that has lost its way. The only problem, of course, is that Biden and the Democratic Party believe that love and peace can exist apart from truth, apart from the natural law and the natural order. But that's an impossibility. Order and beauty characterize the kingdom of God. Order here on earth anticipates that glorious peace and harmony in heaven. For something to be in order, it must not go against the laws of nature. If it does go against the natural law, strife, discord, darkness are the results. There are a lot of Catholics and other well-meaning people who, for whatever reason, cannot see this. Perhaps it's because of our natural tendency to want to just get along with others and not make waves, to not disrupt the false peace. So what if two men or two women want to get married? Doesn't affect me, and love is love after all. So what if a biological female wants to be called a male or some other thing? Doesn't affect me. Just let it go. Anyway, I can't tell other people what to do. To make a democracy successful, after all, we need to have plurality. We need to learn to coexist. Or perhaps we have members of our own family who are homosexual or transgender. We love them and don't want them to be estranged from us. Why can't we all just get along? There's enough turmoil and anger in the world. We need someone like Joe Biden who will bring peace, light, and calmness to the presidency instead of anger, resentment, and discrimination. Well, I think it's safe to say that nearly everyone sees the chaos in our country right now. The anger, the darkness, the intense fear. But the truth is, these things are there because the natural laws are being violently breached. Let me say that again. The reason for the intense chaos, anger, darkness, and fear that is so palpable right now is because of the widespread transgressions against the moral natural laws and at a level perhaps never before seen. God help us if we think we can truly have peace and love apart from truth, apart from the natural law. St. Thomas Aquinas stated that vices against nature are also against God himself, and he even says that they are so much more grievous than even the depravity of sacrilege, because the order impressed on human nature is prior to and more firm than any subsequently established order. We have forgotten this, priest, bishops, laity. I haven't come across anything yet in the Republican Party's platform that supports anything contrary to the natural law. Fortunately, its 2020 platform was left unchanged from 2016, and that means that the Republican Party still opposes abortion, same-sex marriage, and LGBTQ behaviors and lifestyles. The Democratic Party, on the other hand, is loaded with abhorrent natural law violations. Not only does it deny the right to life of the unborn child, but it is extreme in doing so, calling for the right of a mother to kill her baby up until the moment of birth for any reason and supported with your taxpayer dollars. The Democratic platform calls for a restoration of federal funding to Planned Parenthood, the repeal of the Hyde Amendment, and the overturning of Trump's expanded Mexico City policy so that money can be sent overseas so that women can kill their unborn children. The Democratic Party platform supports euthanasia, cloning, and embryonic stem cell research. And as if all of this isn't bad enough, there's plenty more. The Democratic Party gives their unconditional and unwavering support to same-sex marriage and LGBTQ advocacy in both domestic and international affairs, to the point of forcing anyone who has conscientious objections to these things into compliance. For example, religious organizations who object to abortion or contraception would be forced to provide it anyway in their insurance plans. Doctors or hospitals that disapprove of providing gender transition surgeries would be compelled to do them anyway. Religious adoption agencies who refuse to place children in same-sex households would be shut down. Also, they support biological men using women's restrooms and dressing rooms, and vice versa. And they want biological males to compete with females in sports. They support educational curriculums that indoctrinate young, impressionable minds from the very earliest ages on by teaching them that all of these things, contrary to natural law, are actually good. And to make sure that no child will escape from their reach, the Democratic platform opposes private school vouchers and parental choice, a choice, by the way, which is a legitimate choice to make. Not only is religious freedom on the line where the Democratic Party is concerned, but for those who simply support common sense and the natural law, well, they're labeled as mean, nasty people who hate others, and their thinking must be done away with. In the Democratic Party's ideal world, you're not allowed to say the obvious, the emperor has no clothes, without being ostracized, losing your job, or undergoing some type of diversity re-education program. But the truth is that each one of these sinful acts that I have just mentioned is the axe that lies at the root of the trees of life, marriage, and family. The Democratic Party and those who support their platform believe that abortion, gay marriage, and all things LGBTQ will bring peace, happiness, light, and love into the world. The reality is these things will only bring destruction, both in body and soul, because they so grossly violate the natural order. That is what is causing all the darkness, division, and anger all around us. When a person lives opposed to how he or she was created to live, contrary to the very essence of how his or her body was made, they will never know peace, joy, and true love. And until the natural order is restored in our country, we will continue to live in darkness, fear, and anger. We must pray and work hard for this day of restoration, especially appealing to our patroness, the Immaculate Conception. Voting for a party whose platform is so very contrary to the natural law, whose platform sanctions the decadence and disintegration of reason, is so very, very dangerous, and not to mention immoral. A few years ago, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith put out a document addressed to bishops, Catholic politicians, and all lay members of the faithful who were called to participate in the political life of democratic societies. Every Catholic should read this paper before they vote because it's loaded with wisdom. It's easy enough to find online, and again, it's called The Participation of Catholics in Political Life. The document recognizes the fact that our world has been undergoing a complex cultural process of late, with cultural relativism carrying the day. The document laments how citizens claim complete autonomy with regard to their moral choices, and how lawmakers maintain that they are respecting this freedom of choice by enacting laws which ignore the principles of natural ethics and instead yield to passing cultural and moral trends, as if every possible outlook on life were of equal value. The virtue of tolerance is disingenuously invoked, so that people will feel comfortable bypassing the moral laws rooted in the nature of the human person. Does this not describe our country's situation to a T? The document explains how it is not the church's job to set forth specific political solutions. However, it is her right and duty to provide a moral judgment and to serve as a compass on temporal matters. The Church, while recognizing the legitimacy of differing viewpoints about the organization of worldly affairs, exhorts Christians to absolutely reject as injurious to democratic life, a conception of pluralism that reflects moral relativism. Democracy, the document states, must be based on the true and solid foundation of non-negotiable ethical principles, which are the underpinning of life in society. The paper goes on, and I'm going to quote directly here. The Church recognizes that while democracy is the best expression of the direct participation of citizens in political choices, it succeeds only to the extent that it is based on a correct understanding of the human person. The complex array of today's problems branches out, including some never faced by past generations. Scientific progress has resulted in advances that are unsettling for the consciences of men and women and call for solutions that respect ethical principles in a coherent and fundamental way. At the same time, legislative proposals are put forward which, heedless of the consequences for the existence and future of human beings with regard to the formation of culture and social behavior, attack the very inviolability of human life. Catholics in this difficult situation have the right and the duty to recall society to a deeper understanding of human life and to the responsibility of everyone in this regard. John Paul II, continuing the constant teaching of the Church, has reiterated many times that those who are directly involved in lawmaking bodies have a grave and clear obligation to oppose any law that attacks human life. For them, as for every Catholic, it is impossible to promote such laws or to vote for them. Close quote. Someone get Joe Biden on the line. He needs to hear this. Better yet, let's pray for his bishop and his priest that they will call him in, have a little powwow, and challenge him to embrace the Church's teachings, which is truth. The document goes on, quote, "It must be noted also that a well-formed Christian conscience does not permit one to vote for a political program or an individual law which contradicts the fundamental contents of faith and morals." Now listen closely to this next part. This is Church teaching, and it backs everything I just said earlier. When political activity comes up against moral principles that do not admit of exception, compromise, or derogation, the Catholic commitment becomes more evident and laden with responsibility. In the face of fundamental and inalienable ethical demands, Christians must recognize that what is at stake is the essence of the moral law, which concerns the integral good of the human person. This is the case with laws concerning abortion and euthanasia. Such laws must defend the basic right to life from conception to natural death, close quote. And let me stop right here. The Democratic plans on abortion alone are so extreme, and they allow for no exceptions, no compromises, no relaxations. What is at stake here is the very essence of the moral law itself. We need to remember that when we vote. Let's go on. And again, this is a quote. "In the same way, it is necessary to recall the duty to respect and protect the rights of the human embryo. Analogously, the family needs to be safeguarded and promoted based on monogamous marriage between a man and a woman and protected in its unity and stability in the face of modern laws on divorce. In no way can other forms of cohabitation be placed on the same level as marriage, nor can they receive legal recognition as such. The same is true for the freedom of parents regarding the education of their children. In addition, there is the right to religious freedom and the development of an economy that is at the service of the human person and of the common good, with respect for social justice and the principles of human solidarity and subsidiarity," close quote. Now, one might give the Democratic Party an A or B for its economic policies if you'd like, but it gets a big fat fail for the rest, which are absolutely foundational to society anyway. Let me put it this way. If someone had these wonderful plans to build this magnificent building, but they were going to build it on sand, we'd say that was crazy and dangerous. Well, that's what the Democratic Party is attempting to do here, and we shouldn't be fooled. We need to rebuild our society on the solid rock of traditional marriage and family life. Now, unfortunately, we've got many Catholic leaders out there who are trying to appease the troubled consciences of Catholics and Christians by saying that they can vote for candidates, notably Democrats, who support abortion, gay marriage, transgenderism, and so on. Such leaders often reduce their twisted logic to pithy soundbites that are laden with emotions and calls for peace and love and unity, posting them on social media because it's perfect for such things. In many ways, social media is our nemesis and has contributed to the demise of our critical thinking skills and has dummied us down. Who wants to take the time to actually read, study, and meditate upon the teachings of the church when we've got Twitter and Facebook at our disposal to guide us? Pray much for our priests and bishops who have such a grave responsibility before them. They are accountable to Almighty God for making these teachings of the church clear to the souls who are entrusted to their care. Because at the end of the day, it's about the salvation of souls. Abortion, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, and impurities of every sort, the sins of the flesh, because they are directly opposed to the natural order, are what send the most souls to hell unless there is repentance. Now, I do want to get to Joe Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, as I promised on the last show. But before we move on to the Democratic vice presidential nominee, I want to provide you with just one little snippet of just how confused and really how insane this is all becoming. Now, during their four-day national convention, the Democrats featured speakers not only during the evening hours, but also during the daytime. The evening events were nationally televised, but the daytime hours were not. So the vast majority of Americans didn't even hear what was being said, what is being promoted by the Democratic Party, and the lunacy of it all. Well, some journalists were there and were taking note, one of those being Tucker Carlson. Carlson did a little segment on his show recently that pulled back the curtain on what was going on in the daytime at the Democratic convention. Needless to say, it was very different than what was going on in a more sanitized primetime lineup. Well, one of the featured speakers was a transgender, non-binary, gender-transcendent mermaid queen king currently living out their ever-evolving truths in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I don't even know what that means. And no, unfortunately, this is not a joke. This transgendered person wants you to use the pronouns they, them when referring to him or her. And I don't know, this gets painfully confusing. My heart aches so much for this poor individual who really needs help. And yet everyone in the Democratic Party thinks this is all completely normal. Anyway, his or her name is Jay Mai. So one of the virtual Democratic caucuses featured Jay, along with a couple of other speakers with rainbow flags draped in the background. Their discussion centered not on LGBTQ rights, because, hey, that's already settled law, and you're a bigot and hateful person if you fail to endorse this agenda anyway, but on the topic of doing away with law enforcement. The snippet that Tucker played on his show was Jay Mai saying this: "Why can't folks imagine a world without the cops? Why can't folks imagine a world without prisons? Why can't people expand their imaginations to include community care, to include an abolitionist future? I'm talking about, like, for real abolition, not just the watered-down DNC version of abolition. We're talking about abolishing the police. We're talking about abolishing ICE. We're talking about abolishing prisons." This is just a very small sample of the types of things that the Democratic Party has in store for our country. Tucker made the comment that during those daytime caucuses, you could see that the aim of the Democratic Party is one of reaching complete reality inversion. That sums it up very well. Let's take the natural law and turn it on its head. Be very careful how you vote. Okay, I don't have a whole lot of time left, and boy, there's a lot we could talk about as far as Kamala Harris is concerned. And most of it, unfortunately, is very, very troubling. And just a repeat of the same old story: extreme support for abortion and everything LGBTQ. But let's talk about Harris's outright anti-Catholicism. And oh, the irony here, since Biden calls himself Catholic. The difference, though, is that Harris is okay with you belonging to a faith group, just so long as you don't believe or practice those teachings that are not in conformity with the Democratic platform. If you do, well, others' perceived rights come before your religious freedom. Harris has twice sponsored the Do No Harm Act in the Senate, a bill that greatly limits religious freedom. Last year, Harris said, "The freedom to worship is one of our nation's most cherished and fundamental rights, but it should never be used to discriminate or undermine other Americans' civil rights." Well, that's code for, even if you oppose abortion or contraception, too bad. You must pay for it and support it. In 2014, as California's Attorney General, Harris filed an amicus brief asking the Supreme Court not to grant Hobby Lobby a religious exception to the Affordable Care Act's contraceptive mandate. Also, a couple of years ago, during the confirmation hearings of Judge Brian Boucher to serve as a district judge in Nebraska, Harris posed a series of questions to him that showcased her Catholic bigotry. Boucher is a faithful Catholic and a member of the Knights of Columbus. Well, Harris and the other Democrats just had to find out if Boucher really supported those extreme teachings and positions of the Catholic Church. Harris posed several questions to find out. Harris's exact written words were, "Mr. Boucher, since 1993, you have been a member of the Knights of Columbus, an all-male society comprised primarily of Catholic men. In 2016, Carl Anderson, leader of the Knights of Columbus, described abortion as a legal regime that has resulted in more than 40 million deaths. Mr. Anderson went on to say that abortion is the killing of the innocent on a massive scale. Were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed a woman's right to choose when you joined the organization?" Harris then went on to ask Boucher whether he was aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed marriage equality when he joined the organization, and whether he had ever in any way assisted with or contributed to advocacy against women's reproductive rights. Well, Boucher was eventually confirmed in spite of Harris's efforts to block him, but her all-out attack on religious freedom led the Senate to later vote unanimously to reaffirm the constitutional clause forbidding religious tests for public office holders. But if she's elected, she'll work hard to take that away. Then there's not only the question of Harris being an enemy of religious freedom, but there's also the question of her being an adversary to the civil rights of those who oppose abortion or same-sex marriage. David Dalyden found this out the hard way. He has called her the greatest threat to the First Amendment rights our country has ever seen. That's because when Harris served as the Attorney General of California, she played a key role in defending Planned Parenthood over its trafficking in aborted baby body parts. Dalyden's attorneys cited leaked emails showing that Harris met with six high-ranking Planned Parenthood executives to try and put a stop to Dalyden. As a result of these meetings, Harris issued a search warrant on the Orange County residence of Dalyden in order to seize the remaining unreleased video recordings. Planned Parenthood, as if you couldn't guess, is a big political backer and major donor to Harris. Perhaps one of the most forthright admonitions to Christian voters comes from a non-Catholic, a theology professor from Houston Baptist University, Dr. Robert Gagnon. "Harris believes," he said, "that no one should be allowed to be appointed to the court or any administrative government post who ever belonged to a religious institution, organization, club, school, or denomination that views abortion, homosexual practice, or transgenderism as sin. How can any Christian vote for such a person or even fail to cast an effective vote to stop her election?" Well, St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe believed in the importance of using modern media to speak out against the evils of his time, socialism and communism, and he never shied away from doing so. We, like him, must be very brave too and not afraid to speak the truth. Lives and souls are at stake. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.